our worship, so come in, have a seat, and let's turn our thoughts to our great God. We depend upon God to help us to do that, and he does that through his word. So listen now to the words of the psalmist. We'd like to begin our worship with a proper perspective. In Psalm 33, the psalmist writes, and he says this, he says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. What a great, great gift it is to worship our God this morning. Let me share with you just a couple announcements. In your bulletin, we have just normal ministries that are taking place. We praise God for those ministries. So I'm not going to repeat those things. You can look at the bulletin yourself. Biggest thing would be our Thanksgiving dinner is planned for next Sunday. Plans are being made for that dinner. We want to do it wisely. We want to do it carefully with serving our food, with seating. So we're working on that. And once again, the ladies have asked for an approximate count for attendance and preparation. So they're preparing food, and they just need a count. So again, would you raise your hand indicating I'm going to be here, young, old, raise your hands. And Tim Skinner, would you just walk around and get us a count? Keep your hand up until Tim points at you, and that'll give us an indication of how we can plan for food and tables. Keep your hands up until he points to you. Very good. Okay, and by raising your hand, that is not a signed contract that you have to come or I will not be here, but I mean, it just helps our ladies, so we thank you for that. Our goal today, when you walk through these doors, our goal is to worship our God. And so let's do that now. Let's focus on him. Let's lift up our voices. Let's honor and glorify and worship our great God this morning. Tim, come.
Good morning. Good to see you. We're going to start out with a verse of scripture this morning up on the screen. Breshit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, the original is Hebrew. The original is the words that Moses wrote, and of course we translated it to English. These are very powerful and life-changing words. Let's pop those back up there again. Let's just look at them again. We've seen them before. They're very familiar. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They form the bedrock, the starting point for all truths of God's revelation to us, whether in nature or whether in the Holy Scriptures. These words form the beginning of all truth. This morning we want to focus on this truth. Specifically, we want to praise our God as the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in them, including us. Genesis 1, 26 and 7 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. male and female, he created them. Of all God's creation, we alone were made in his image. We are the high point of his creation, but we are not our own. We belong to him. He is our creator, and every human life that God has created is precious to him. These truths this morning, these basic, simple truths that we've heard since we were, knee-high to a grasshopper, these basic truths should cause us to praise him, bow before him humbly, and to call him our Lord and our Master. We're going to stand up this morning, and we're going to sing, "We Bow Down." As we sing, don't just sing this. Sing this in your heart.
Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea, you were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you,
a minute this morning and bow our heads before our great God. And Dave Martin, would you just lead us in prayer this morning after a moment of silence? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we have never seen before. And thank you for the times that you have given us in this life. We are mindful, God, that you have been good to us and you have blessed us with health and reasonable health and strength. You have provided for us, watched over us, and guarded us while we slept last night. From the time we was in the womb into this very moment, it's been because you have been good to us. Lord, we would pray that you would just keep us mindful of the reality that you are God and there is no other. Lord, please allow our encouragement to be in the creator of our soul. For you said in your word that he who keeps his mind stayed on you, you would keep in perfect peace. So even this morning, we are reminded that this world that we live in, this didn't just pop itself into existence. That the Creator, the timeless, eternal, self-sustaining God, for some reason, only for your own purpose, you created us. Lord, allow us to fellowship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allow us, O God, to live a life that you created us to live willfully and purposefully so that you would get the glory from each one of us individually and collectively. Father, I'm mindful that there might be one here today who have not met their creator. They don't know you. Father, would you please allow your son to be proclaimed in such a way that they won't leave this place that way? And encourage the people who have come to know you through the power of your Spirit, allow him to penetrate through our hearts and our thoughts, and that he would allow us to live a life, again, that is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.
For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other.
The Lord is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is mighty and strong above all, and there is no other like him. Join me this morning in singing praises to this great God. I'll have you stand. I sing the mighty power of God. Hymn number 6. I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze up on the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow, my
Now, this great God of ours, he's not an angry, haughty, and arrogant God who sits above us and looks down condescendingly upon us weak and puny humans. No, he's greater. This is not the kind of God he is, but he is greater than anything we can understand. He's far above us, and yet our Creator cares for us deeply and provides for us.
Isaiah 40:28-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends and of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 103, verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Our God, the Lord of creation, provides for all of us and loves every one of us. And this should cause us to praise him. We're going to sing another hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Hymn 26, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye that hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how my desires there have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who with marvelous wisdom hath made thee. Deck thee with health and with loving, then guided and stay thee. How oft in grief hath he not brought thee relief, spreading his wings for to shade thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly for whom we adore him.
God is not just the creator of the physical world, but he wants to do another act of creation in each of our lives. Though we are marred by evil and sin, he sent Jesus to pay for our sins and to create within each of us a new and eternal life.
Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
If by faith you have believed in Jesus and in his death and resurrection for you to pay for your sins, then you have received this new life and you are a new creation. You can live your life in the joy of serving this great God of the universe. And you'll sing praises to him because of the new life and the new hope that he has created within your heart. We're going to be closed this morning. I'm going to have you stand. We're going to sing a chorus that reminds us of God as our King, our Master, our Creator. Behold our God. today, as you're seated, continue to worship the great God, our Creator.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Behold our God. Wonderful song. It's, well, my desire to continue to sing and praise. Because I don't know you, but when I sing, I feel my heart like in full joy. Because this thing is not for us. This thing is for God. This thing is for Him. This thing is for worship Him, not for us. And sometimes I heard some people says, my voice is terrible. But please, yeah, for God, it's not for other people. Don't worry about what kind of voice you have. Worry only for show your heart for Him and praise Him. This is more important things in our life when we worship Him. Sing with our hearts, with all our soul, with our completely our body for God. But now is our time for offering. So I'm continuing to remind you about our plates, continuing the foyer. When do you come in before worship or after worship service, you have opportunity for put your offerings there. And I say thank you. Thank you for offering. Thank you for continue to serve this church, serve this body, this here in this local church. So, but I want to read one passage. Okay, I'm going to jump from Isaiah, from Psalm. Yesterday I talked with my kids at the table, and because I'm very anxiety with all this happened. I need to tell the truth. I'm anxiety. I'm excited about the election. I'm excited about the situation. I'm excited. I'm a sinner. Sorry. Maybe as only other person, I commit sin here in this church. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But I'm excited because what happened. But the wonderful thing, the marvelous thing it is because when you look at the scripture, we find resource for bring peace for your soul. And this verse is one of the verses I love in the Psalm. Maybe everyone knows this verse, but in Psalm 4, verse 8, look what the psalmist says. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. I don't lost my time for sleep with this. The truth is, I don't lost. Carrie knows, when I lay down in my bed, I'm so fast asleep. So fast. Benaiah sleep more fast than me. But I slept so fast. But when I wake up and I'm still thinking about it, but God bring this truth, this amazing truth for my soul. Because He says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. How many people don't sleep during this week? How many people lost sleep, lost the comfortable time in his bed or whatever? Because sometimes happen in this world. Sometimes happen in this society. But look what the rest of the verse says. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Because you alone, O Lord. It is not any man. It is not any, I don't know what I can say, government or whatever. Nothing in this world make me more safety than God. Amen. When you look at it, Psalm 46, verse 10 says, I know in Portuguese. I don't remember English. But says, let me see here. If you heard in Portuguese, no problem. I can say, but 46:10. God says, be still and know that I am God. When you put these two verses together, we see the wonderful things because God is God. And only Him make not only me, and I expect everyone here truly in Him, make everyone here dwell safety. Because, my brothers, we don't know what happened tomorrow. We don't know what happened after this worship service.
We don't know. I'm glad because everyone here, we don't know what happened. But one thing we know, God is in his throne every day in our life in the future too. No matter what happened in this world, God continue to reign. God is God and nothing change who he are. Here he is. Because he is God. And please, don't lose your time and sleep. No stay anxiety with what happened tomorrow or after. Because God is only, because he is alone, make me dwell in safety place. Only him. Anybody. Let's go pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful because when we open your scripture, when we read your word, we found everything we need for our soul. We found everything we need for bring peace for us. Because Jesus says, I give peace different this world because it's my peace. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you because our salvation is not dependent in ourselves. But our salvation you gave us. You is trustworthy. We can trust in you, depend on you, and rely on you, God. Because nothing compares with our God. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this moment we can look in your Bible and says, wow, it's amazing. Because in peace, I will both lay down and sleep. And whatever I do, like 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever I drink or eat, whatever I do, do all for the glory of God, because this is the purpose for our life. Rest in you and make everything for your glory. Because God, you gave us the more important things in this world, salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you because for one more day, you give us too the privilege for hear your message, hear about your word and what you want for change our lives. And for this reason, I pray for Pastor Tim, for you continue work in his life and protect him because your message, Lord, is so important for our souls. Your word is important for our lives. Thank you. And I praise in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes. Lord, you know all our fears. When words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts. You know all our hopes. Lord, you know all our fears. And words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts. When words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts.
Good morning. Ages 2 through 4 are dismissed for children's church. I've lost my voice. I was preaching on Friday night, so I don't have any sickness. I just want you to know that. I wish I was like Brother Fred early this week and even yesterday. I wasn't like that. I was upset. Me and God was having conversations. We was having conversations because I thought I saw things differently. I thought I saw it the way God saw it. That's always a problem when you think you can see something the way God sees it, amen. A cousin of mine called me when I was at Elva's house getting leaves raked up. A cousin of mine who was going for the other person called me and couldn't wait. He said, "My man won." I said, "I know what he's talking about." I said, then he called me. He couldn't let that, it's almost like a football game. He had to call me. So when he called me and he said, "Oh yeah, he won." He said, "What do you think of that?" I said, "God is sovereign. God is sovereign." He was mad because he wanted to, that's not the answer I wanted to. I said, "God is sovereign." Another friend of mine called me later that night and texted me and said, "David, what in the world is going on?" I said, "God is sovereign. God is sovereign." We're looking at a tree, and God sees the whole forest. We have to get our emotions together. The sovereignty of God is not always pleasing, but it's always right. One of the things I would have you to do for me before we read, I was informed that almost 500 people at Anamosa State Penitentiary have come down with the COVID. And as many of you know, I do prison ministry at Anamosa and have not been able to get there because of this pandemic. And so I had brothers calling me on yesterday and spoke with the chaplain, and we're going to head up there after church, and we're going to go to the church and we're going to pray at the prison. We're going to pray right there on the sidewalk, just to let them know that we're with you and we're praying for you. This church has done a tremendous job of praying for me and helping me when I've done ministry. This is a part of the ministry of this church as well, but ultimately is a part of God's ministry. So I would have you to pray for us and pray for them. This is a very fertile time for the gospel. And I would pray that we individually take advantage of it. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed of which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.'" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Love it.
During a worship service, I try to evaluate what's going on in my own heart, and because I desire to worship. And when there is a satisfaction in my heart, when I can be satisfied with God, when what I hear, whether it's the music or the scripture, when what I hear goes to my heart and there is satisfaction in God, that's worship. And I am so grateful for worship today. Let's continue to worship. God would speak to us in his word. God will do that. Let's ask for his help. Let's continue to worship. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you for worship. And thank you for worship that truly is centered on you. We can worship many things, Father. We can worship people. We can worship situations, and yet God, true, deep, satisfying worship is in you alone through Jesus. Help us to continue to worship this morning. Thank you, God, for the many avenues that's taken place through today. And God, we pray that it continues right now as we look at your word. Thank you for your word. And God, to just consider that you would speak to us, that there is scripture, holy scripture, right before us, given by you through the Spirit to this man named Mark and written down as you would see fit, communicating to us your revelation. God, thank you. Thank you that we can know you. Thank you that we can know our Savior better. Help us now to stay focused. Continue, Father, to place within our hearts a hunger and a desire for you, and satisfy us through your word this day. We thank you and praise you for what you'll do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have what it takes to share the gospel? So let me say it again. Do you have what it takes to share the gospel? So what exactly does it take? Does it take bravery? Does it take the ability to speak? Does it take knowledge of the Word of God? Does it take a thick skin? Do you have what it takes to share the gospel? See, folks, a lot of people think that many are called to share the good news, but few have the right stuff to do it. And so what is the right stuff to share the gospel? We're in Mark chapter 2 this morning, and let's see what's happening in the life of Jesus. The news about Jesus had spread, and now great crowds were following him. And they're so large that Mark chapter 1 verse 45 says that Jesus can no longer openly enter the city. And so he remains outside of the city in deserted places where people can come to him from every direction. And they're either bringing sick people to him, or they're bringing demon-possessed people to him, or they just want to see this one who has such great power. And yet, folks, Jesus knows that most of these people are blind to their own needs. They follow him for what he can physically do for them. But he's come to do much more than relieve the sick and the afflicted. He's come to offer a spiritual rebirth. He has come to offer them a place in God's kingdom. He's come to make the way to God. And to those who will trust him, he will provide forgiveness of sins. So above all, he shares with them the message of forgiveness. And the question is this: how does he do it? How does he share the good news? In the midst of crowds and confusion and challenges of everyday living, Jesus shows us what it takes to share the message of God's forgiveness. In other words, Jesus sets the example for us. Remember, he is the servant of God, and we have an example to follow, and that's Jesus. So how did Jesus do it? The question is, how do we do it as we follow him? Let's look now at Mark chapter 2. We're looking at verses 1 through 12. So first of all, I want you to see this morning that you must be willing to be interrupted. We're thinking about sharing the gospel. We're thinking about sharing this message of forgiveness, and we have Jesus as an example. First of all, you must be willing to be interrupted. Look at verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. So chapter 2 of Mark's gospel begins as Jesus had spent several days traveling through the area of Galilee. The last verse of Mark chapter 1 reveals that the news about Jesus had spread very fast, and already he is limited in his travel because of the crowds that follow him. And then we're told in Mark chapter 2 that he returns to Capernaum and the house in which he's staying. This is probably the house of Peter. We go back to chapter 1 verse 29 and Jesus was there at Peter's house. Probably Peter's house where he's staying. And it's become sort of a headquarters for Jesus while he's in the area. Now in the beginning it may have been a place of rest. It may have been a place of recuperation, but no more. Because verse 2 of chapter 2 says that many people gather at the house. And they fill the house and they crowd into the doorway to see him and to hear him. See, it just gives us an idea of the crowds now that are following Jesus. And notice in verse 2, very clearly, Jesus preached to them. Jesus shared the word with them. And folks, that's exactly what he came for. He came to share this good news with them. There's no indication in this passage that he's moving through the crowds, that he's healing people, that he's touching people. It simply says that he preached the word to them. He's speaking to them, and he's telling them the good news that the long-awaited Messiah has come to break the power of sin and to begin God's kingdom upon this earth. And this is why that Jesus came. He is the Messiah, and he'll bring forgiveness to those who believe. But right in the middle of him speaking, he's interrupted by several men bringing a paralyzed man to be healed by Jesus. Look at verse 3. And then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. I want you to think about this just for a moment, because Jesus is preaching to this huge crowd, people who are packed into this house, people are at the doorway, no doubt outside listening to what Jesus has to say, and they know that what he has to say is important. And now he's interrupted by these men. He could have rebuked them. He could have stopped them. He could have demanded silence while he speaks. But I would submit to you this morning that Jesus is willing to be interrupted. So here is one who needs the gospel. And here is one who needs forgiveness. Here is a God-given opportunity to share the gospel. Here's a guy that every preacher looks for. Somebody who can't run away. And here he is. Here he is right before Jesus. And it's for this man that Jesus came as a servant. And brothers and sisters, it's for this same kind of person that Jesus has saved you and saved me and sent us forth as messengers of forgiveness. So the question then, as I look at this passage, is this: are we willing to be interrupted to share the gospel? I ask myself that question, and then certain situations come to mind. Am I willing to be interrupted? Do I realize that that neighbor who drops in unexpectedly on the only evening of the week that I have off is sent by God? See, God did that. God does that. That phone call that you receive at supper time, not counting the solicitors or the politicians, that phone call is according to God's plan. God did that. Do you realize this morning that your commitment to Sunday school or Truth Trackers or Wednesday evenings will change your schedule? It will interrupt what you might want to do or some other things that you have planned and yet can be used by God to equip you and prepare you to share the gospel. Several years ago, I was working in my office on a Friday morning when I heard the door of the church open, and up the stairs walked a little man with big problems. He was dirty. He was sweaty. His clothes were torn. His leg was bleeding. He needed help. And he proceeded to tell me a long, long story of all of his problems, which he said included robbery and being beat up and walking for miles. And I was busy. I had an appointment that morning, and I was only in the office just a few minutes to finish some odds and ends, and I didn't need this interruption. But brothers and sisters, God had a different plan. And so it took me a few minutes to settle that in my heart and in my thinking, and that God would use this opportunity in any way that God wanted, and I must submit to that. And so I ended up patching up his leg, driving him across town, buying him some food, and providing him a place to spend the night. And on the way, I was able to clearly share the gospel with that little man. And I never saw him again. One little man, one opportunity, never ever saw him again. But I know this. That interruption that I called an interruption was an opportunity sent by God to share the gospel and to share the good news of forgiveness to that little fellow. Let me ask you this morning, are you like Jesus? Are you following Jesus? See, if we're true servants and we desire to share the gospel, then first of all, we see in the life of Jesus, we must be willing to be interrupted. There's a second example from Jesus. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. You must see the need of people. Mark says in verse 4, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now I want you to picture, if you can, in your mind, just for a moment, what's happening here with Jesus. Because in the middle of his teaching, in the middle of his preaching, four men bring this paralyzed friend to Jesus for healing. They could not get through the front door, and they knew that Jesus is their friend's only hope. And so they decide on an unconventional approach. They will go through the roof. And so the tile and the branches and the grass and the mortar are all removed, and an opening is made in the ceiling or in the roof large enough to let that man down through that hole so that he can be before Jesus. As I was reviewing the passage, I thought to myself, Jesus knew what was happening, but I mean, from a human perspective, what was Jesus doing when the roof begins to be pulled apart and a bed is let down through this roof before Jesus? I mean, he looks up and he sees what they're doing, and then he looks down and there's this paralyzed man lying before him. And folks, Jesus didn't say, "Men, are you crazy? Or who's going to pay for this roof? Or look at the mess that you've made in Peter's house. Or we've never had a service like this before." I mean, none of those things. But Jesus says to him, simply and clearly, "Son, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you." And so Jesus looked beyond the physical circumstances, the hole in the roof, the four faithful friends, the paralyzed man, and he went right to the need of that man. He went right to the heart of that man. This man needed forgiveness. His greatest need is a spiritual need. And folks, there may be people right here today in this room, people who are listening, who are just like this paralyzed man. You may be here and you're listening for many, many reasons. It might be it's a habit to be here. It might be your family is here. It might be you desire fellowship. It might be you have friends here. It might be that you're a young person and you have no choice, but you're here. But is it possible that you're here this morning and you're listening because you have spiritual needs? That you know that you have a spiritual need. You know that you need the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. See, often we as believers, we get involved in the circumstances and the conditions of people's lives. It may be physical illness. It may be personal relationships. It might be emotional problems. It might be financial difficulties. And the list could go on and on and on. But many times, these are only symptoms of the real need, the deep need. You see, they're lost. They're controlled by sin. They're separated from God, and they desperately need Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that He brings. And folks, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't look at the circumstances or the situations or the symptoms in the lives of people. We shouldn't forget those things. Jesus didn't. But it means that we recognize the true need and we give the right medicine. You know, when we face health needs, we recognize the importance of a proper diagnosis and then proper treatment. And sometimes it takes a while, but the source of the problem must be found and then the proper treatment must take place. And the same is true with spiritual needs. We all have a spiritual problem. And the problem, folks, is in us. We are separated from God because of sin. And we need the right treatment for that problem. Jesus shared the message of forgiveness because He saw the need of people. It's pretty amazing if you think about it, that Jesus saw all of that taking place, and knowing that Jesus knows the hearts of people, He witnessed all that taking place. These men brought their friend because he needed physical healing, and Jesus witnessed that, He watched that, and the first words that came out of His mouth were these: "Son, your sins are forgiven you." You see, Jesus knew His heart. Jesus went right to the deepest need. Jesus shared the message of forgiveness because He saw the needs of people. Look at verse 5. Here's another lesson, another example from Jesus. Jesus shows us that you must deal with sin. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So these five men, they come to Jesus, and Jesus is the answer. Not only would He take care of the physical affliction, He would take care of the most serious affliction, and that was separation from God. And though the man came for physical healing, Jesus did much more for this man. He dealt with his sins. Now let's step back just for a moment and let's be reminded that all sickness and all death are the result of evil and sin. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5 verse 12 that death came into the world as a result of one man's sin. But folks, that doesn't mean that all physical illness is the direct consequence of individual sin. But Jesus looked into the heart of this paralyzed man and He saw his greatest need, and therefore Jesus forgives his sins. And folks, if there's a major truth that I want you to walk away with today, it is simply this: there is no forgiveness apart from Jesus. And if you're here today and you know within you, you know in your heart, I need forgiveness, There are things about me, there are things about my life, I need forgiveness. Again, there is no forgiveness apart from Jesus. The Apostle Peter would say in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And therefore, that means that we, as the followers of Jesus, must share Jesus. We must present the Savior. We must bring those with spiritual needs to the only one who can meet those needs. And folks, that, of course, is God through Jesus Christ. And when we share the gospel, when we share the good news, we have to share Jesus. There's all kinds of good news that we might share, and yet we must share Jesus. Forgiveness is only through Jesus. Now, people may think or say that there are many ways to receive forgiveness of sins, but folks, there's only one way to receive forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness comes only through Jesus. I'm reminded of that when Jesus says to this man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Maybe I've shared this before, but years ago, God gave me an opportunity to have a Bible study with a young man from India. So he was Hindu. He was interested in Christianity. He actually said that he was interested in Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus. Now, he worshipped hundreds of gods, but he wanted to know more about Jesus. And so we met several times for a salvation Bible study, and I shared with him truths about Jesus and about salvation. And he came to a point that he wanted to receive Jesus as his Savior. And I spent more time with him, and it became obvious that he wanted to add Jesus to his long list of other gods. See, he wanted to make sure that his sins were forgiven. And so any god that he could add, he was willing to add, and that's where he was with Jesus. I want Jesus as my Savior. He wanted his sins forgiven. When I made it clear from the Bible that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, he realized that he would have to turn away from his other gods. And frankly, folks, he would not do it. He would not give up his other gods. And he walked away with all of his other gods and without Jesus and without forgiveness of sins. See, many people may think that there are many, many ways of forgiveness before God. People may even like the message that there are different ways to God, but the Bible makes it very clear that there is only one way, one true way. Forgiveness of sins comes only through Jesus. And folks, we might get people to church, we might teach them to pray, we might share with them how to study the Word of God, we may help them change their actions, but without Jesus and without true forgiveness in their lives, it's not the real thing. We're making religious people, not people who have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that doesn't discount the importance of those things I just mentioned. God often uses those very things to open people's eyes, and we praise God for that. And yet our desire should be to help people see themselves, and most of all to see God through Jesus Christ. And God will bring them, change them. The paralyzed man was brought to the right person, and that person was Jesus. And Jesus dealt with his greatest need, and that need was sin. Look at verse 6. What else can we learn from Jesus? What does it take to share the gospel? You must overcome opposition. Look at verse 6. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately When Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." It's amazing. But the very people, think about this, folks, the very people who should have rejoiced at the coming of Messiah were very critical of him, and they opposed him. Here in Mark chapter 2, verse 6, the religious leaders, they question Jesus' words. They say, "Well, only God can forgive," and you know, they were right. But what they failed to realize is that Jesus is God. This, then, is the beginning of Mark's record of clear opposition to Jesus. Now, Mark has touched on it previously, but now this is very clear what Mark is presenting. Jesus is so popular even now that the religious leaders can no longer ignore him. Now get this, folks. They didn't say a word. No word came from their mouth. Jesus looked into their hearts. He knew what they were thinking. He knew exactly what was happening in their hearts. And just as a practical truth here, don't forget this. Murmuring and complaining and harsh criticism, when it creeps into your life, Jesus knows your thoughts. He knows it's there. Jesus knew their thoughts. And he didn't ignore it. He confronted it. And to prove that he is God and that he can indeed forgive sins, Jesus then heals the man physically. So he healed him spiritually, first of all, and then he heals him physically. Look at verse 11. "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all. You see, folks, there is no doubt that this man, Jesus, is the Messiah. And he confronts opposition. He confronts opposition at this point with love and kindness of action is how he confronts that opposition. There will be times later in his ministry where he speaks to these religious leaders, but remember, he sees their hearts, and now he shows them his power, and he shows them through an act of kindness and love and mercy to this man. He heals this man. There is no doubt Jesus is the Messiah. Now mark this down, folks. If Jesus, the Son of God, has opposition to the message of the gospel, so will we. So will we. Some of us have experienced it. Family members who don't want to hear, neighbors who are cold, friends that don't come around anymore. And it won't stop there. There may be even religious people who fight against you, because when you begin to proclaim the truth that salvation is by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ, then watch out, because you will offend religious people, and you will offend other churches, and you will offend the world, and you'll make Satan mad. And most of all, we'll have to overcome our own self and our own doubts and our own pride as we tell the needy about Jesus Christ and his message of forgiveness. And the same pathway that we walked, we share that with others. See, we overcome opposition through a trust in God and a love for others. We see that in the life of Jesus. So we don't fight the enemies of God with the weapons of the world. We overcome them through the weapons of God's grace. Jesus shared forgiveness. He overcame opposition. Look at verse 12. Finally, we learn from Jesus that you must give glory to God. Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." That statement, every time I read that statement, it just brings a smile to my face. We never saw anything like this. So when everyone heard and they saw what Jesus did, they were amazed. And Mark says they glorified God. And folks, this was the goal of Jesus. Bring glory to God. A servant pleases and glorifies his master. In John chapter 17, verse 4, on the night before he was crucified, Jesus spent time with his disciples, and he's praying during that time. And in verse 4, he's praying and he says to his Father, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." He glorified the Father. Jesus the Son, or God the Son, glorified God the Father. And folks, we then look at our own lives and we look at our purpose and we look at the reason why we do things. That means we don't share the gospel to make a name for ourselves. It means we don't share the gospel to have a big church. We don't share the gospel to bring attention to ourselves, but we share the gospel to glorify God. And you know, we need to be reminded of this, don't we? That everything that we do, Brother Fred, I appreciate your comments earlier, everything that we do it to glorify God. So is this the reason that we serve? Is this the reason that you teach or you help or you give, you serve God's people in this local church? Do you do it for the glory of God? Like Jesus, we must share the good news for the glory of God. Now, folks, we have the good news. We have the gospel of God's grace, the God-man Jesus Christ, crucified in our place, raised from the dead. Anyone who places their faith in Him receives forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's good news. We have the good news. How can you share this message of God's forgiveness? Do you have the right stuff? Looking at this passage, look at Jesus. You must be willing to be interrupted. You must see the need of people. You must deal with sin. You must overcome opposition. You must give glory to God. Once again, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus shows us how to serve. Follow Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this truth that's before us today. And how I do just praise you that we have an example that you have, through the gospel writers, and specifically through the gospel writer Mark, you give us a clear look at the life of Jesus. So thank you, Father. We can never say that we don't have an example that Jesus never showed us. Well, Father, He did. We have it, the record right before us. So help us to look at it and look at it, God, with a desire to be like Him. And God, we trust You to do that work in our hearts. We ask, God, for that. We ask, Lord, that we become like Jesus. So help us. We need Your strength. We need Your provision to do that. May we trust You, dear God. And Lord, even now as we would end this service, this worship time, Father, I pray that our eyes are open to the degree that when we leave that we see people and we see opportunities. And we're not so pulled by what we do or how we do it or when we do it that we miss the opportunities that You give. Jesus never missed them, Father. And Father, I stand in awe at the simple statement that near the end of his ministry, he said, I have finished the work. I've completed the work. He did exactly what you wanted him to do. God, may that be our testimony. In our weakness and our inability, God, may our confidence and trust be in you. We pray for your continued work in our lives right now. And help us, dear God, to faithfully share the good news of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray this morning. Amen.
Please stand as we close with A Tender Heart, hymn 368, A Tender Heart. Be someone here today who's like this crippled man. You have some physical needs, you have things going on in your lives, and yet your deepest need is forgiveness of sins. And only Jesus can do that. So I ask you, I implore you, come to Jesus. And when you come to him in faith, when you come realizing who he is and what he's done, then the words he spoke to that crippled man, he'll speak to you. Your sins are forgiven. God will do that through Jesus. Talk to us after the service. Come now. Come to Jesus. He will forgive. Believers, God gives opportunities, doesn't he? We just need to have our eyes open and our hearts ready to share this good news. May that take place in our lives to the glory of God. Let's sing now. Final verse, verse 3.
Send me now, Lord Jesus, send me.
Praise God for the great gift of worship. We're glad that we could